What's up? What's up? Back with another episode of the Career Bound podcast. This morning, we're going to talk about the happiness formula. So going to try to keep it a little bit more conversational this morning, but the topic is something I think probably everybody is familiar with in your own life. You know, how to live a good life, how to find happiness and meaning and fulfillment and all those other good things that we all aspire to. And, you know, it's something I think about all the time. Probably more in a philosophical level than is necessary sometimes. So I have a lot of thoughts on this and read a lot of books on this that we'll probably reference, but I'll set it up and then I want to hear your thoughts, Cameron, but yeah, there are a lot of different things, you know, I think about when it comes to, you know, designing a life that, you know, designing a good life or trying to live a happy life. You know, there's, you know, the first one is that to use the, you know, common expression here, it's the pursuit of happiness. It's not this, you know, destination that once you've achieved happiness, you're just happy. I think like my kind of the big thing here is that like it requires a lot of work to design a life that is something that is a life that you're satisfied by. And that doesn't mean you're always happy. There are, you know, days that are tough days. There are days that are great days. There's still like a lot of work that requires. And sometimes it's really hard work. Sometimes it's, you know, some days are easier than the others. But when I think about sort of this, trying to solve for this question in my own life, it's something that has been constantly evolving for my entire life. And it's something that, you know, really what I'm going to talk about today is some of the elements of designing a life that is something you actually want to live that you found in your own experience, that I found in my experience, and sort of what that looks like. And even if that's different for you and for me, what are some of the sort of common themes and things that other people might be able to draw from that?
Yeah. I'm excited to get into this today. Quick initial thoughts to set up the conversation. I don't have any qualms with calling it like happiness formula, or, you know, essentially that's what we're trying to do, is like, how can we lead a, you know, a happy and fulfilling life? I think sometimes, especially for young people, I know this was the case for me when I was younger, kind of getting too caught up in focusing on like happiness as the goal, and just taking that broader definition of like, and the phrase I like is like, how do I figure out how to build a life that I want? And for everybody, you know, everybody has different preferences, but I think, you know, like what we're going to talk about, it's figuring out what's the balance between like doing things that are challenging, having agency and control over your like big life decisions, your overall trajectory. And of course, like a huge part of this is like, what is it that actually is going to make you like happy, satisfied, fulfilled? And, you know, I resonate a lot with what you're saying about, you know, we're both in our early 30s right now. Like, you know, if you kind of start the timeline in your late teens, when you really start to think about your future and what you want to do. And then, you know, of course, through our 20s and stuff, like, yeah, it's changed a bunch. And, you know, I think there's probably been consistent underlying themes of what we're each pursuing and what we think is going to lead to, you know, the good life on our own terms and stuff. But, you know, I think a big part of this discussion is also knowing, like, you're not going to know everything up front. You can't plan your life ahead of time. That's, you know, to get a little sappy here, like, that's part of the fun part of living life. It's truly an adventure.
Yeah. So one of the things that this has been a distinct marker in my journey in trying to figure out how to design my life, and it's probably a jumping off point for a lot of other discussion, because I know a lot of, I would imagine this is somewhat of a universal feeling for people who describe themselves as ambitious is this wrestling with like finding contentment with your life as a function of like where you're at on your journey without sacrificing your ambition. I felt like, and I still feel like this to a degree sometimes, when I was really young, you know, my late teens, like you were talking about, like right at the start of my journey, starting to think more deeply about a lot of this stuff. One of the things that I struggled with that I didn't realize it was a struggle until much later is that I felt like I defined a lot of my own self-worth and my ability to be fulfilled and happy as a result of like my ability to convert my goals into reality. And I think that was somewhat of a negative relationship with my future, because I felt like I felt like my happiness or my fulfillment or satisfaction with like the journey I was on was always sort of a byproduct of the things I didn't have in my life. You know, like I wanted to achieve success in my career. I hadn't done that yet, and I felt this pressure to do it. And so I felt this sort of sense of unease or dissatisfaction with where I was at in my life because of what I had not yet achieved. You know, I wanted to make money and be financially independent, and I hadn't yet done that. And so I felt this sort of this like emptiness isn't the right word, but like I felt like this lack of achievement across several different dimensions of my life. And that created a lot of discontentment. And to some degree, it was healthy because that also was a motivating force. But also at different points in my early career journey, especially in my like probably by my mid-20s, I think that sort of became the driving force rather than like trying to find fulfillment or try to like design my life. This is before I felt like I was being really intentional. It was more a function of like trying to get these things that I didn't have. And then like trying to figure out how to design my life in a way that was fulfilling as an end unto itself.
Do you feel like I relate to that. Do you feel like you over indexed on specific tangible career achievement in terms of what you were kind of putting your ambition into and your focus?
Oh, 100%. I think for probably the first, I don't really know what age this started, so I don't really know how many years, but I would say let's just say that it started around 15 and probably went through at least like, you know, my mid to late 20s, a dozen years or so of where I feel like in the hierarchy of like priorities for defining my own happiness or my own satisfaction with what I'd achieved, it was a function of like career success, education success, academic success, like this competence sort of world. Like I was achieving success along this competence hierarchy. And then it was
like the more external scorecard category.
Status plays into that, you know, like, am I working on something cool? But like, do I also feel like I've got the respect of other people from what I'm doing? Is what I'm working on impressive? It wasn't always like, am I making a ton of money? But it was a function of financial security of like, do I have really high earning potential? Is what I'm doing leading to this like awesome financial outcome? And I feel
you weren't necessarily playing the like default status quo career games of like, oh, I'm comparing myself to others based off of like what my current annual salary is. You were going above that and be like, I'm thinking about my long-term earning potential, but you know, in some ways, like if you overly focus, over prioritize that, you're falling into a similar trap sometimes.
Yeah. But I think those were two of the like really prevalent dimensions that I over-indexed on those and under-indexed on like building lasting, meaningful relationships, or exploring right. some of the things that I was interested in on my own that weren't like, I didn't see a clear path how that could be financially lucrative or a career, but I was interested in it. Like pursuing those hobbies and interests just because of the joy they brought me. Like I didn't do some of those things. I put like a lot of those things on the back burner, and, you know, probably even like at times my health and wellness took a backseat to like career success. Yep. And there are probably other things, but those are some of the ones that come up right off the top.
Yeah. I think that's super common, where we're all, culpable of being having tunnel vision in our own way. And it doesn't mean, like, it can show up in a lot of different ways. Like, okay, like, I think there's people out there that, you know, easily get caught up in the status games of like career success. And it's like, all right, like I'm, you know, just graduated, you know, school, and, you know, I purposefully, you know, kind of chose my major and what degree I was going to get based off of, you know, hey, I want to go into finance because that's how I can, you know, get to a six-figure salary as quickly as possible. This is the most like practical, direct route to become wealthy over time, kind of thing. Yeah. And it's not just the financial aspect of it, but it's, again, like the status aspect of like, this is externally a highly well-perceived career path. And, yep. you know, I want to be, seen by others and in a, you know, a positive way, et cetera. And then, I think there's plenty of people out there that, you know, especially our generation, millennials and Gen Z and stuff that are like almost overly compensating for like, no, I'm not going to play that status game. I'm going to, you know, live a life that's less materialistic. And, you know, I'm just like throwing out the baby with the bathwater in terms of like dismissing the value and importance of long-term financial independence and, you know, what it like, you know, career, like having ambition, you know, towards like work and career and stuff. And, you know, maybe they over index on like having a sense of like having fun and entertainment in their life. And what's the other thing I was going to say? Like kind of a almost like a low quality sense of personal freedom, where it's like, I'm not, you know, I don't have any obligations. I'm not trying to like better myself or improve myself or like put my heart and soul into a certain kind of work or career, because, you know, that's just, you know, soul sucking life decisions, essentially. Like I'm avoiding that. And then it's like, you know, you're avoiding a big aspect of life. And, you know, at this stage, something I want to talk about is like, I think the right approach is from an individual standpoint, you know, always have multiple kind of buckets of life essentially that you are focusing on and prioritizing. And over time, you know, different categories, different buckets will take precedence over others. But I think there's a lot of value to thinking through that yourself and like, oh, like consistently reassessing that over time. And I think that's a good way to kind of, you know, not lose perspective on like what's most important in your life and what you should be focusing on and everything. Like I, you know, yeah, like if you're one, well, yeah, I would say let's start there, and we can, you know, I'm happy to talk about, you know, what the different buckets and categories are. I think if people just sat down for 10 minutes and really thought through, I think, you know, there'd be probably 80% overlap with what everybody comes up with. But yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I want to dig into a little bit more to something that you were starting to talk about, though, is like this feeling of, not necessarily rebellion isn't the right word, but maybe rejection of like the typical sort of values hierarchy between like career, financial earnings, the American dream, if you will. Like among younger generations is like, it's almost this perverse form of minimalism where it's become like, I see these older generations and I see the way that they prioritize their career, or they prioritize like financial, you know, some type of financial outcome. And that came at the expense of, you know, maybe their family life or their marriage or, you know, all these other dimensions of their life. And I don't want that. Like, I want to have this good life and, you know, definitely, like you said, kind of throwing out the baby with the bathwater. But really, I think the thing that's at play is like, there's this continuum of contentment and ambition. And it's not necessary. Like, I think something people confuse and struggle with in like this society we grow up in is that it's okay to have ambition that maps along a different trajectory than sort of the typical ways people are ambitious, which is like, hey, I got to be a top performer. I got to get a good job. I got to climb the corporate ladder. I got to make a lot of money. I got to be, you know, a respected person in my community. I got to be I got to be married with exactly 2.3 kids in a neighborhood in the suburbs with two cars. Like, there's this kind of like formula for like how you're supposed to be ambitious. And I'm supposed to have like a master's degree and like all this kind of stuff. And I think that people get afraid of their own ambition when they see that path and there are parts of that path that they don't want. Yeah. And they don't really know how to articulate the things that they want to do. And so they're like, rather than go and try and figure out how to pursue this thing that may add higher meaning to my life or may like challenge me to, you know, become a better version of myself or develop new skills or take me on this wild adventure, I'd rather just say, hey, I'm going to live a minimalist life. I'm going to learn how to be content with sort of what I have. And I'm going to learn how to accept myself for what I am. And like, it's this more of this like Buddhist monk mentality of like, I'm going to just be at peace with myself and the universe. And I feel like that's more prevalent with younger generations. I mean, people our age, even, you know, millennials and youngers, like trying to strike that balance between like, it's not okay to do nothing, but you don't also have to be on the other end of the spectrum where you're like running at, you know, 110% all of the time in order to live sort of a happy, fulfilling life. There is somewhere on that continuum that's like sort of optimal for you. It's probably different than other people, but like, that's maybe one of the first things you got to figure out. And, you know, I'd say that's changed for me a lot, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, the like people, our generation and younger, you know, that had that experience of like, oh, my parents just kind of did what they were supposed to do. They worked and, you know, most of their life seemed to be focused on work. And, you know, it doesn't mean you had to have like a bad like relationship or like family life or whatever. But like if you're a kid and you're observing, like your dad goes, does his job 9 to 5 or, you know, is, you know, just like more of like a workaholic type or whatever. And, you know, it's like you have work and then you have like family time on the weekends and you're kind of growing up and maybe what you're observing is like, it doesn't seem like the people around you, you know, the adults around you are living life with a specific amount, like a certain level of purpose and fulfillment. And whether you're judging, whether like even as a kid, like you're judging them like, oh, I don't think they're living the life to their, you know, their potential in terms of like seeking fulfillment, or you just see that and it's like, that's not for me.
I think
there's justified like good observations that like our generation and younger have made about how people have approached life. And I think the main observation is just, there seems to have been a lack of intention and purpose and, you know, people that have come before them essentially. And again, like I think the trap that younger people fall into is like, I need to do the opposite of what, you know, I observe my parents doing, where the more valuable insight is I want to do things on my own terms. I want to have agency and control over what I'm doing. I'm not just going to go to college because that's what everyone does. I'm not just going to go, you know, try to get the most like steady, well-paying job that leads to a longer term career out of a, you know, kind of need for, you know, long-term security kind of thing. Like, yeah. I think that's, it's not a very empowering, fulfilling way to approach life. And, you know, I think another thing you're talking about is ambition. Like I remember growing up, I always knew I wanted to be ambitious. I was naturally ambitious. I think a lot of that came from, you know, like a natural competitiveness, you know, playing sports and everything. And I knew there was like, I wanted to approach my, like, I wanted to build the life that I wanted for myself. I had no idea what that meant though. Like, I remember in high school and college, you know, just like, oh, like, should I become a teacher because I enjoy, you know, working, you know, with people and that kind of dynamic and everything, and like forego, like kind of intentionally pursue not to be ambitious in terms of, you know, financial wealth in my career decisions and stuff. Like that was a big, you know, like kind of consistent question that I was asking myself from like 16 to like 22. And I think being able to define ambition, especially within your career, is something that's really challenging, and it's really important to be able to do over time. And it doesn't have to be, it's not this, you know, dichotomy of choices of like, I either have to go the, you know, typical high status, you know, seeking career path, you know, option, or I have to intentionally choose to, you know, I'm dismissing my ability to like have a long-term, like higher earning potential. And I'm going to focus on, you know, finding a job that I enjoy, even if it's lower paying, and sacrifice, you know, one of those two things. I think that's how most people think about ambition in their career and stuff.
Yeah. So one other point that I want to talk about, sort of the elements that make it up in our own lives, but I think it's like this relationship between sort of finding your passion and pursuing it versus putting yourself on a path that fulfills you. I think those are not always the same. I think that, yeah, like I felt this a lot of different times in my life too, where it's like, I have to be super passionate about what I'm doing, and I have to feel like I'm living that out, and that's what's going to make my life everything that I want it to be. And I don't think that that's, in fact, that's rarely true. I think instead it's, you know, there are certainly times where that has happened to be true, in moments, but I think more often than not, what it is like finding yourself in a situation where you're sort of taking your life in a direction that you want it to be. You're working on stuff that challenges you, and you feel like you're working on something that it's not easy for you. It's not just like something you can phone it in and you can like remain the same and stagnant, but it's something that's like, whether you're passionate about it or not in the moment, like it's something that's like, I've got to see this through. This is a problem I really care about solving, or it's something that's like really challenging me, or I just can't stop thinking about. And I think that that can be true across the board.
Does it lead to growth, right?
Like, yeah, that's probably a growth, better way of thinking about it.
Like growth needs to be a component of fulfilling work.
Yeah, and I don't think that I would limit that just to your career too. I think that that can be true in other dimensions of your life, like the hobbies you are working on, the relationships you have, like, are you, the different environments that you're taking up space in your life, you know, your career, your home, family life, your friendships, your hobbies, are those all sort of things that are forcing you to evolve over time? Rather than like, are they just things that really excite you? And they're like, you know, I think that to some degree, like there should be components of those that excite you. But I think a better way of thinking about it is like, whether this excites me in the moment or not, whether I'm really jazzed up to go to my job today or not, like, am I on this longer term path of something that like, I actually want to be on this path? Even when it sucks, like even in the hard days, I like have something bigger, longer term that I'm working toward. I feel like for me, that has been exponentially more rewarding than just trying to always be really excited about what I'm working on.
Yep. Yeah. I think it, there's like common stages that people go through if they're trying to be like more intentional with building the life they want. And I think a one that happens really early on is kind of, again, like, okay, I don't want to just have a job to have a job sort of thing, but it's like, I want to find something that's actually interesting to me. I want to find something I'm passionate about. And then I think the more experience you get, the more years that go by, you kind of realize passion and interest doesn't have to show up in like, oh, this is the one thing that I want to dedicate my life to in terms of like how I impact other people necessarily. Yeah. Like there are some people that they need to be highly like the best thing for them is to be highly motivated by a like almost like external mission and stuff. I agree with what you're saying. Like it can be, I think you figure out over time that there's a lot of things that can be of interest to you if they are meeting certain criteria and like, okay, the work that I'm doing day to day isn't just like killing me out of boredom and I'm not just like suffering through it, but I'm doing something that I take pride in. I'm, you know, the combination of like, it's something I'm good at and it's also like challenging me to get better in certain ways. And then I think there's a lot of things that we can put up with on a like short-term basis if there's that longer term like purpose or goal that it's leading to. Like there's a lot of different things, but it doesn't have to be like the answer isn't I show up to work every day and I just automatically feel inspired and I, you know, like work is always, you know, fun for me kind of thing. Yeah, like there's definitely been times in my career where it's like what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis is not what I would prefer to be doing, but there's like a bigger purpose behind it where it's still, you know, more like I feel committed and good about what I'm doing on a day-to-day because that's, you know, it's leading to something bigger that I know, you know, I have clarity about that. Like, that's what I want for myself. Or there's something, you know, bigger and better that it's leading to.
And that's the challenge with, you know, calling this the happiness formula or talking about like happiness and same thing with passion is that like, if you're basing sort of your success at living a happy life off of an instant rather than sort of a longer term view, like a snapshot versus a movie, like you're probably going to be unsuccessful in most cases because like, there are a lot of times on the path to like living a fulfilled life, at least in my experience, where there are individual unhappy moments or like times where you're like, this is tougher than I thought. You start to think, is this worth it? Am I really doing what I want to be doing? Is it taking longer than I thought? Am I making progress? There's like all that sort of stuff that comes up. And when you're judging yourself, whether like, am I happy or not? That's a different question than it's like, am I on a path that I feel like is leading to what I want to be doing longer term? So anyway, outside of just work, I want to get into like, what are some of the other parts of like leading a happy, fulfilled life of meaning, a rich life, whatever, like however you define that.
Yeah. I mean, I wrote down some different categories here. Some of them, I think most of these are pretty obvious, like the kind of like the big buckets of life. So you know, on top of work, career ambition, there's, you know, family and relationships, you know, so there's, you know, like your formal family. And then, you know, I think there's, you know, friendships, and then, you know, there's, you know, figuring out the long-term, question of, you know, marriage and, you know, romantic relationships, et cetera. But like, throw all those in, like investing in your relationships, having high quality relationships, like, you know, in different areas of relationships. Like, I think that's one that everybody knows, like, yeah, of course that's important, you know, as humans, like we're social creatures, of course. But I think it's also something that most people really have a hard time feeling like, yeah, I'm satisfied with like the amount and quality of relationships in my life. Especially, you know, I think with remote work, with, you know, school being more online the last few years, like all those things, it's harder for, you know, people to figure out like where can I go to find the people that, you know, I really want to like invest in building relationships with. It's kind of the third place problem. Like, you know, I haven't read a ton about this, but the general kind of theory of like, hey, like historically, you know, people, you know, in our society have had, you know, typically have had like three different places to go that are kind of like the center of their life. There's home life, there's, you know, work life, going to the office, and then, you know, there's a third place, typically, like, and that's basically like the social community aspect. And true, you know, for most people historically, yeah, most people historically, it's church, you know, once you're an adult, etc. But like, you know, over time, essentially, like that third place has diminished, and we don't really, you know, there's not like a centerpiece of our social lives anymore. And then I think you could also make the case like more and more people are, they don't actually have a workplace. Like they're working remotely, they're staying at home. There's, you know, a lack of like social aspect of like doing online work, depending on what your situation is, that kind of thing. But, and you know, there are relationships that could be a whole, not just podcast episode, but, you know, podcast itself. Yeah. Other things I'm just going to spit out here would be personal health and fitness. I think that's a huge one. I think people are becoming more aware of how our, you know, our nutrition, our diet, exercise, et cetera, like really impacts our, you know, mental health essentially and our happiness. You know, religion and spirituality, like that's something, you know, I think people are less intentionally pursuing right now. And I would say like having a religious and spiritual life, like that's inevitable. Yep. It's just a matter of how it's showing up. But yeah, there's a lot of interesting things we could talk about there. And then I would kind of put these two almost lighter buckets side by side. Maybe they're one and the same, but like fun just as like a priority, yep, you know, as its own bucket. And then like intellectual curiosity and engagement, like stimulation and stuff. And I think those are things where it's like, yeah, are you pursuing things, whether it's through these other buckets like work or, you know, the relationships you have or health and fitness or your spiritual life that are like intellectually engaging you? And like, are you having fun on a regular basis? Like, I think that's something that's really underrated, and people, you know, especially if you have high career ambition, you're probably going to discount the importance of that on a long-term basis. But yeah, I think those are the kinds of things like that I think about personally, of like, you know, if I was like checking up on my kind of own happiness, health score kind of thing, you know, that's how I would categorize it. Like, how am I feeling about those different areas of my life?
Yeah, I think you hit a lot of the big ones. I'll throw in a few others, and then I want to go deeper on some of those and have a couple crazier curveballs I want to throw in there. But like, you know, there's this sort of desire to have a rich intellectual and emotional life. So you're actually, you're not on this journey alone. You're engaging with other people. They're challenging you. You're learning, you're growing, all of those kind of things. There's the basic ones that I think are easy to take for granted sometimes, but like the idea of security or stability, some level of stability that like the world is not going to burn down tomorrow. Like tomorrow the sun's going to rise. The money I have saved in my bank is going to be there. Like I have a way of supporting myself. I know how I'm going to pay the bills. Like those kind of things I think are, they're easy to take for granted, but they're really important when you don't have them. And once you've kind of satisfied those, they've become like sort of, you know, second nature, I guess, that you're just, you have those. But outside of sort of the big ones that you said, which I think are all important, and there aren't any that I disagree with, I would say all those kind of line up with some of my things. Some bigger ones is like, I think that for me, there's got to be some dragon to slay. And I mean this in, you know, the metaphorical sense, of course, but like, there's got to be something to like wrestle with. Maybe that's because I feel like I'm sometimes prone to existential angst to just think about these kind of things of like, you know, does my life have meaning? Am I making a difference? Am I doing, you know, all that I could be doing? But I feel like one ingredient to my own happiness and fulfillment is like having some kind of bigger thing. And it doesn't always have to be work. It literally could be like, hey,
taking care of your family could be.
Yeah, it could be that. And I think it changes in different seasons of your life, and it takes a different form for different people in different stations and like whatever your sort of priorities are. But, you know, at any given point in time, that may be like the problem you're working on at work, or if you're an entrepreneur, like the business problem you're solving. Maybe it's just like making a difference in your community. Maybe it's, you know, raising kids or having a family, or it's cultivating your highest spiritual life. But there's got to be some element of, not necessarily stress, but some element of resistance that you're battling against, and you're like trying to overcome challenge. And it's like that, it's that friction that makes life interesting, I guess.
Like you're saying, like at different seasons of your life, the short term, like dragon to slay is probably going to show up in one or two specific areas of your life. And then, you know, other aspects of your life maybe are just deprioritized, or like they're going smoothly. So it's like, hey, I'm trying to figure out like what I want to do career wise long term. But like my home life and my relationships are pretty steady, which allows me to like focus on this one, you know, major thing.
Yeah, there's a necessary amount of struggle that you've got to endure to get the most out of life. That's sort of how I'd summarize that. And I think that sort of all of that, you know, that struggle combined with some, all the different components you were talking about, like all of those sort of bleed over into how you view yourself, which I think is another important thing, like this pursuit of self-respect, self-esteem, like confidence in your identity, confidence in your abilities, like sort of all those things are this feedback loop to you about like, not only am I ambitious, but I'm like I'm being the person I want to be on the path to becoming the person I want to become.
Yeah, I think throughout our entire life, I think we're all innately focused on like fulfilling our potential and becoming the best version of ourselves that we possibly can be. Like you want to end up, you know, when you're older, be able to look back and be like, I squeezed a lot of juice out of life, essentially. Like I became the person that I feel like I was capable of becoming and stuff. And I think that's where like the dragon slaying metaphor comes into play. Like if you're not going through like trials and tribulations and you're not pushing yourself to do more and challenging yourself to do things that really stretch you, then you're on the long-term basis, like you're not going to answer that question very positively at the end of the day. And, you know, a big part of it, like as a young adult, you know, through your 20s, and I feel confident, like it's a continuous process from here, but, you know, especially early on, a big part of that is just figuring out like what is important to you, what matters to you. Like when we talk about like career ambition, what does that mean for you individually? It doesn't just have to mean, like we were talking about earlier, you know, I'm going to, you know, go a more traditional, like high status seeking career path route versus, you know, I'm going to do the type of career that is, you know, seen by others as traditionally low status and, you know, lower stress, but it's, you know, fulfilling because I get to have a high impact on, you know, kids or something like that, you know? I think always having something that you're really like pushing yourself to achieve in, you know, like any big aspect of life is essential.
You made me think of a quote. I used to have this on my wall as a kid because I was that kind of kid, but it was, there's a writer named Irma Bombeck, and she had this phrase. It said, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I want to be able to say, I used everything that you gave me."
Yep.
And I've thought about that quote for a lot of different ways over my life. I think as a young kid, it was like, I want to be as successful as I possibly can be. But now that I'm older, I've thought about it more in terms of like, we all kind of have this toolbox and we all have a little bit different mix of tools and interests and things that we're good at. And kind of the recipe for fulfillment is, you know, at least for me, has been like reaching into that toolbox and using all of the tools, not just some of them more than others, not just like trying to make more money or being successful, but like, you've got all these things that you're naturally interested in, some of the gifts that you've developed and things like that. And like using all of those things, like developing a full range, like your full range as a human across all these different dimensions, and like trying to, I'll reference one more book to bring this in, because it's a great one. But in 12 Rules for Life and Maps of Meaning, Jordan Peterson kind of talks about this way of like approaching life, which is like, you've got all these different games you're playing and you're trying to win as many games as you can without losing in any, you know, one way that sort of wipes you out. Is like, you've got these different dimensions of your life. You're trying to advance in a positive way across those different dimensions. You're trying to be a good husband. You're trying to be a good father, a good friend, a good, you know, career person, employee, entrepreneur, owner, whatever. You're trying to cultivate your hobbies and like do all these different things. Sometimes when you get out of whack and you over-index on some, like you become too focused on your career and you disregard your family or your relationships or whatever, you start to lose at those games. Winning at these comes at the cost of that, and you're kind of out of balance. And like that leads to, you know, it's more than just like you working too much and losing, you know, missing out on the value of your relationships, but you're kind of like, you're out of sync with yourself, I guess. And so that's kind of this other bigger thing, I guess I'm trying to say, is like, to some degree, it's about figuring out how to integrate all the different dimensions of your personality into the way you live your life.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great way to think about it. And, you know, I think there's a lot of value in being aware and understanding, like, we have different dimensions, so you're not kind of placing you're not identifying as one dimension too much too, where like,
yeah,
if your entire identity is caught up in what you do professionally, then you're highly dependent on that one aspect of your life going well. And if things start to, you know, take a turn and, you know, start crumbling a little bit, then that's going to, like, you don't have a good foundation in place, essentially. And, yeah, you know, the house of cards can come crashing down, essentially. And you know, I think it's kind of the same problem that, you know, people, the stereotype of the person who is very identified, like their identity is very caught up in like a high status career, that like we feel like, you know, you would look at that person and be like, oh, they're at risk if that doesn't go well, like they're not kind of living life in a balanced way. But I think it's also true for the person who's like rebelling against that, where, you know, if your identity is caught up in being anti high status career, high level of ambition, then you're also going to be kind of, you know, you can be caught off guard, essentially. That was kind of a tangent, but yes, I think understanding like you have multiple dimensions and all like those core dimensions, however you specifically identify them, like they all deserve like your attention and nurturing, essentially.
For sure. Awesome. Well, I don't have anything to add now. We could probably talk for more hours if we wanted to unpack it, but we'll wrap it up there and, you know, maybe come back in a future episode to dissect some of this more. Any other closing thoughts on your end?
Yeah, I'll end with, I think the easiest way, like if you're, you know, late teens, early 20s, you want to kind of simplify these different kind of like dimensions and buckets of life for yourself, I would group them into three to start with, which would be social, career, and personal development. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh yeah. And I'll add this to the link, is like, there's the, what do they call it? Like the four burners. You get to choose like the two burners. There's your social life, your health, all that stuff. I'll add links to some of these articles and books in here.
Cool.
Awesome. We'll be back with another episode soon.